伊巴林萨拉玛这视频之词，我谈到关于暴力这方面，关于我们要确定国家在这方面的责任，那怎么样确定煽动仇恨和暴力？第二个挑战，
a legal responsibility for their conduct to some extent. Thirdly, how can states' obligations in this area be enforced in such a very technically complex environment such as the digital space? The digital space. Social media can inflame a situation far faster than any state agents could intervene. I'd like to focus on the Rabat Plan of Action of 2012 in this respect and its contribution. First, on the methodology and the...
声音太差了，我们不能翻译，很抱歉。
Regions of the world, the three elements of legislative approaches, case law, and public policies on the matter of prohibiting incitement to violence, discrimination, or hostility. Second main feature is that the Rabat Plan of Action was not limited to the legal approach, but also to the public policies and to the role of different stakeholders, parliamentarians, media, education, politicians, religious leaders, and actors. Most importantly, this study was done in different regions of the world separately, and then at the end there was a wrapping up meeting in Rabat in 2012, with the double objective of defining commonalities between different approaches across the world, again, bottom up with empirical evidence, and secondly, identifying potential gaps. This led to the elaboration of the Rabat threshold test of distinguishing between incitement to violence and hostility or violence on one hand, and an exercise of freedom of expression on the other hand. And the six criteria are the context, in which context the speech was delivered. Second one is the speaker. What's the status and what's the role of the speaker and what's its relation to the audience? Third element is the intent of the speaker. Fourth is the content and form of the speech. Fifth element is the extent of the speech and its scope. And sixth, the likelihood and imminence of potential incitement to violation, hostility, or violence. This Rabat threshold have proven to be very useful. It was used in establishing its tie to violence and distinguishing from freedom of expression by audiovisual authorities at some countries at the national level. It was also used by the European Court of Appeal for Human Rights and equally by the Facebook Oversight Board in several decisions. I believe that the experience of Rabat has been very useful, especially is that it enlarged the scope of the responsibilities, not only from the state, but each and every stakeholder, non-state actors, need to factor these criteria in their work. 5 years after Rabat, through the Beirut Declaration on Faith for Rights, there is also a relevant commitment to hate speech, Commitment 7, and I'm reading it, faith-based actors pledge to publicly denounce all instances of advocacy to hatred that incites to violence, discrimination, or hostility, including those that lead to atrocity crimes. We bear a direct responsibility to denounce such advocacy, particularly when it's conducted in the name of our religion or belief. This shows that there is an obligation not only to abstain from hate speech, but also to provide the median speech and to speak collectively, not only for the targeted groups, but all faith actors or all politicians need to speak and denounce hate speech from whatever, wherever it comes. The experience of the Rabat Plan of Action gives us, at least in my view, some lessons to be contemplated. I think one of these lessons is that politicians and religious actors and leaders in particular, these two categories of stakeholders need to pay special attention to the threshold of Rabat in their public roles. Simply because if we apply the criteria, their influence on their audience is huge. And also, they are at times good at using what I call the borderline speech, in the sense of instrumentalizing or potentially manipulating ideas, notions that are very near to the identity and the sentiments of the masses, like patriotism and like religion. And this in itself adds to the both their weight of their speech and their responsibilities as well. I reach a few conclusions from the experience of Rabat and its implementation so far. My first conclusion is that countering hate speech and incitement to violence, discrimination, or hostility cannot only be achieved by legal means. Secondly, the obligation of countering hate speech does not limit to prohibiting something negative, but also to promoting a duty of remedial speech, of positive speech that needs to be adopted. Third, this positive speech to counter hate speech at the very beginning should not be done by only the group targeted by the incitement to discrimination or violence. All stakeholders relevant, if it's politicians, should be all political parties. If it's coming, basing itself, the hate speech or incitement on religious ground, it should be all religious actors from across the faith traditions that should stand up and send a collective message of denouncing this speech, not in the name of our religions or beliefs. My third and last conclusion is to say that I believe we have enough legal criteria, legal instruments and policy frameworks. And if one contemplates from a height the triangle of the law, the education and training and the media, one sees clearly that we need more work and more training on the area of education and training and media role than on the legal aspect of this important battle for inclusive society and equal dignity for all human beings. Thank you very much.